It can be sad when you miss your favorite interview. Don't despair. Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000.
So this is usually the way it goes on a Sunday for me, Waddle. I don't know how... Are you in like the window, the 3 o'clock window sucked too for other games. There were two games yesterday because all these games have been spread out so much. We've got afternoon football in an hour from now, by the way. But after the Bears won, obviously had the red zone on, and the Packers Bucks game like was a good game. At least it, you thought it was going to be good.
I think
Aaron
Rodgers regretted that little dance in the end zone because after that he got kicked in the marbles for three quarters.
The Key and Peele celebration. Yeah. Yes, he literally got kicked by Ndamukong and Sue.
Yeah.
If he didn't literally get kicked, I know he got pushed around a bit. But they were up 10-0. But anyway, so like I get the red zone on. I had the Bears-Packers game. We had to consume too much Jets-Dolphins football. That will be the only Jets mention on this show today. But then I go to Bears Twitter, and I go to the press conferences. The Bears Twitter handle broadcasts all their press conferences live. And I knew right away when Nick Foles answered the question that he was going to win some fans over, maybe even some truthers over. And again, I don't want to go meathead on you, but this is a guy who has raised the Lombardi Trophy. He has been through more trials and tribulations.
MVP of the Super Bowl.
Right. And like, think about where he's come from. This is a guy who knows about coming back from almost being retired from football. He's been a guy who's been on a roller coaster throughout his career. So I think he's got a good command of the room. I think he's a good leader. And when he was asked if he's worried that this is just how the Bears offense is going to be, he had a very interesting, emphatic answer in the Bears press conference yesterday.
Would you rather lose pretty or win ugly? I think that we'd rather win ugly. You know, I think that's the common thing. So I think it tells you a lot about our team. Is this who we are offensively? We want to improve. We want to get better. We want to have rhythm. But ultimately in the NFL, it's about winning games. It doesn't matter how you do it. It just matters that you get it done. If you put up 50 points and you lose a game, those 50 points don't mean anything. So right now we're winning games. We're playing together as a team. We can improve. I think that's exciting. If we were winning these games and playing perfect and they were this tight and we're playing perfect, what do you do? Where do you improve? I mean, then we're sitting here as like, man, I guess when we just, you know, play those teams, it's just not going to happen. Well, right now we have a lot of areas to improve offensively once again, but we are figuring out ways to, you know, score and get points and move the ball and do those things. We can fix what we're doing. It doesn't happen overnight. Offenses don't get fixed overnight. And sometimes they don't get fixed throughout the course of years. You've seen in the NFL, there's been teams that have been bad offensively for a very long time. We're not one of those teams. We're a team that's young, offensively, we're growing, we're getting to know each other, we're figuring out who we are, and we're doing it at the right time. And as a team, we're winning these games. And I think that's what's important. Now, we're not going to get complacent and say, hey, man, we're 5-1, this is it. No, like we're sitting there in the locker room after the game talking through it. Hey, we got to be better here. This is what we got to do here. Communication here, route running here. Hey, we got to be able to run the ball here. We know that. I know you're all going to ask those questions. We know that. And that's what's exciting because we don't have to have y'all say, hey, you doing this? Hey, we know. But we also know that we're going to improve because we believe in one another. And that's what great teams do. Great teams find a way to win a game. Bad teams win with prettiness. Great teams win no matter how it takes.
I thought it was good. Look, I'm not telling you that Nick Foles is going to lead the Bears to the Super Bowl because of what he says. But look, he's been through all the wars before. And I thought that was a pretty good statement by your quarterback.
I agree. He shows tremendous leadership. And the hope is the more he becomes acclimated with his receivers in this offense and they get used to him, that there will be significant improvement. I would just again, though, say to you, the 2017 Philadelphia Eagles that he won a Super Bowl with were significantly better on the offensive line. That team ran the ball for over 2,000 yards at a 4.5 yard per carry clip. They had a tight end that was dominant in Ertz. Jeffrey was a very good receiver at that time. Nelson Aguilar and Torrey Smith were good. That was back in the days when Trey Burton was very good. My hope is that, like, they don't need to be as good as that Eagles offense. I just want, can they improve to the point where statistically they are average? That's all, like, anybody who thinks this is a top 10 offense is crazy. If you can go from 27 to 17, now you're talking about a chance to make a significant amount of noise in the postseason. So, like, I told you when they made the quarterback change, you got 12 weeks to show us that this offense works with all of the different people that are coming in and out of the huddle and with the coach involved. But if I told you before, again, that the Bears were 27th in points per game at 5-1, and the guys behind them were the Jags, the Broncos, Washington, Giants, and the Jets, who are 1-5, 2-3, 1-5, 1-5, 0-6, it would leave you a bit concerned, wouldn't it?
Yes. Well, it's got me concerned. Yeah. I mean, I'm having fun with 5-1, but I want them to be better. I just thought it was a good a way to show the leadership, too. And I think now, even more so, the players that he's in that huddle with, if they didn't already believe in, and I think they all believe in him way more than Mitch to begin with, that won it over even more.
He's a professional quarterback. Yes. Again, that doesn't mean he's Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady, but he knows how to run the offense. He knows where the ball's supposed to go. He's a good leader. Now they've got to improve, and he's got to elevate his level of play as well.
Now show us. Yeah. Yes. Paul in Worth, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Paulie?
Gentlemen, good afternoon. I am riding high on this Victory Monday. I'm loving that we're 5-1, and I'm calling in today because just of all the other calls I've been hearing today, I want to provide the fans with some perspective. I mean, the Bears are 5-1 with a great defense and an average offense. The Packers are 4-1 with great offense and an average defense. If you watched the Packers yesterday, they had a lopsided defeat. Today's news is they got a ton of problems on defense. You know, my opinion is the Bears will be competitive in every game throughout the year, barring injury. So my comment really is you can't have it all. You have to ask yourself, what are your expectations as a fan for this team? We have winning football in Chicago, and I, for one, love it. Love you guys. Keep up the great work.
Thank Good you, stuff. Yeah, you bring up a lot of great points, and it shouldn't be lost on everybody. I think there's some good statements today being made. Someone, Alex, said this. In a poop year like 2020, I'll enjoy the little things in life. A 5-1 Bears squad, despite some kinks in the armor. It's a nice thing to celebrate on a gloomy Monday in Chicago.
Absolutely. It's better than the alternative.
Yes.
But if I sit here and try to say to you, we're on top of the world, we're 4-1, and this is a Super Bowl caliber team right now, let's just keep rolling and stay healthy, I'd be lying to you.
Yes.
There's progress that needs to be made for this team. Don't waste this defense.
That's a good statement for sure, too.
Don't waste this defense.
Less cute, more nasty, and don't waste this defense.
Sylvie, where's your poll at the moment?
It's in the Twitter water. It's in the pond. The Twitter
nine
pond.
9 o'clock, maybe.
9 o'clock? Well, yeah. Sideways? What?
Kind of between midnight and six.
What? That sounds uncomfortable, man.
Yeah.
Would you rather lose pretty or win ugly?
You know, I can't be. I'm not at 6 o'clock. but
right.
I'm certainly, I mean. Which best describes your feeling on the 5-1 Bears start? 34.3% they're focusing on the positives. And again, there's never nuance in a poll, you know, focusing on the positives leading the way. 24.2% they're conflicted. 21.9% they're not that good. And then the lowest is just under 20% at 19.6%, they're thrilled.
Hey, listen, Monday morning, they're going to have to wake up in Los Angeles, grab a cup of coffee, and hope they don't spill it all over their junk on their way to the ballpark.
Is this a replay show or what?
I'm just saying.
Sylvie, the reason I asked is I voted on the question that you put on Twitter, and I voted thrilled Bears. And
really?
I don't understand why I'm in the minority here. Yes, could you have imagined at the start of this football season back when the season started that we'd be saying, hey, by the way, the Bears are 5-1?
No, I didn't see 5-1 coming, even with some smoke and mirrors. Yeah. Yeah, of course. I am thrilled. And there's a part of it. I'm conflicted.
Are you thrilled? You're not thrilled. You're looking at me disgusted. People can watch you on Twitch, ESPN 1000 Chicago.
That's a falsehood. That's a lie.
You don't look happy with me right now.
Some countries you'd be jailed for lying like that.
Fortunately, not this one. Sir.
I'm thrilled they're 5-1. Yes, I'm thrilled they're 5-1. But I can see past the next 30 seconds.
Well, there's flaws. There are certainly flaws. Right. And I think Sylvie brought up a great point from what Nick Foles said yesterday in postgame. There's room to improve.
Oh, there's a lot of room.
And I think in the answer, there's a lot there to feel great about this team because you're 5-1 and they're not very good.
Yeah, I liked best, Black, is that he said in that locker room, while they were celebrating Meek Mill and everything like that in Club Dub, they were still saying to each other, we got to do this better.
Yeah, good. That's what
we got to, you know, they're having those conversations face-to-face, knowing that, man, we got to clean this blank up.
You said it best right there, Chris, and maybe that's where the nuance of a web poll question falls flat or isn't absorbed, is that you're thrilled they're 5-1,
mm-hmm.
but when you zoom out in totality, how good are they?
Well, you know,
just said they're not that good.
Well, and it's a loaded question, right? Because if you get into a one-off playoff game in the wild card round,
well, they just showed you they could beat the Bucks in an ugly fashion.
See, and that's what is interesting. Do we think the Colts are good?
No,
middle of the pack.
Middle of the pack, yeah. Right? So really, you have one signature win against a good team, the Buccaneers.
But you know what's cool, though, is in every American city with a football team right now, they're probably bitching and moaning about their football team.
Yeah.
Tampa was pissed last week. Now they rolled the Packers. You think sports radio in Milwaukee and Green Bay is good today? They're pissed at that team. That team looked lifeless. They're trying to spin it that an ass kicking like that was good for them.
Yeah, woke us up.
BS that's good for you. You know, like last week, the 49ers, people are saying Jimmy G sucks.
Where were you at last night, everybody?
They got a quarterback problem and this and that. And then what did they do to the Rams last night?
They punched him in the mouth.
They were physical.
Every week there's some team, and like, don't even get started on the NFC East. So the point of that is, there's not one city in America. Think about what they were saying about Cam Newton 3 weeks ago. What are they saying today? What were they saying about the Browns 2 weeks ago? What are they saying today? This right now in the NFL, you could be a lot worse. There is no perfect team. There's no dominant team. The Texans should have beaten the Titans yesterday on the road. They did not. The Titans are undefeated. Like, I think at 5-1 with room to grow, who knows?
Pretty good. Listen, pretty good. I feel thrilled about this.
This league now more than ever because of the circumstances, it's a week-to-week league. Seriously, I'm not exaggerating or trying to be overly dramatic. Things can shift dramatically.
The Bills got beat last week, Waddle. They could beat the Chiefs today in 45 minutes from right now.
So you're better off being 5-1 and hoping that they find a way offensively to just, again, listen to me, just be average. You don't have to be top of the heap. You just don't. Try to improve over the course of time to the point where you're middle of the pack offensively. Would I like for them to be the 10th or 9th rated offense? Yes, they're not capable of that. They don't have the personnel to do that. Find a way to improve, to stop the self-destructive behavior at times. Call a good game. Stop with the mistakes. Block the guy in front of you. Catch the ball. Get the first down. Execute your plays, and there's a chance you could be a 16th or 17th ranked offense. And when you get to the postseason, people don't want to face you. They don't want to face that defense. Trust me. Tom Brady doesn't want to see that defense again, ever.
So, there we go. We got the positivity train rolling now.
Let's do it.
We had a good feel-good moment there. Let's go. Club Dub is open. It's back open. Let's play some Meek Mill coming up next. We'll take your phone calls, 332-3776.
Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie. And at ESPN_Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Shout out to all of our great listeners inside our Twitch channel. It's twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago.
By the way, okay, go ahead. I forgot.
It's all brought to you by Miller Lite. You can watch the show. You can see Waddle in the First Midwest Bank studio. It's how I do the show, too. It keeps me connected. There's really good interaction in there. A lot of, look, there's good debate, just like there is on the radio show. People are arguing, well, why would you ever bring that up on the show? Or that's a good point. And then they're arguing with each other, and you can do it with us at 312-332-3776. So just remember, when you do get home from your commute, you could either watch us on Twitch, you can listen to us, download the ESPN Chicago app, tell your at-home smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
All right, I made a proclamation on Friday, okay, that Cole Kmet would have three catches for at least 40 yards. If not, I would force my daughter to make cookies and bring them in. I delivered today. There are cookies here in the kitchen.
Your proclamation was the best one of the three. Cap said that Montgomery would rush for 100. He did not. He owes us lunch. I said that that Allen Robinson would have two touchdowns.
That's right. Yeah.
He didn't sniff the end zone, I don't believe. And then at least Cole Kmet surprised a lot of us by getting involved early in that touchdown catch. Was a memorable one for his first
one. What a great throw. What a great catch. What a great play. I had him for three catches and 40 yards or cookies, and I delivered the cookies today. And by the way, I don't know if you've seen them. I should take a picture of them. My daughter's very creative with it. They are Nick Foles cookies and ESPN cookies.
They're out on ESPN 1000's Twitter.
Oh, are they?
They got to be larger if they're Foles cookies, though. Don't they have to be larger?
They're cookies, bro. Made by a 17-year-old.
Okay.
All right.
She's great. She's a very good baker.
Where are you going? Like, she's
very good baker.
She's not making pickle cookies.
The Foles cookie is a good handful, though, at least.
I mean, for the love of everything, is there nothing? Nothing sacred?
It looked like a mini football for me. That's all I'm saying. It's a great job.
Big Nick.
Great job, Emerson.
Big Nick.
Knitting ding-dong Johnsons all over the place.
Andy in New Lenox, you're on ESPN 1000.
There's the picture of him.
Hey, guys.
What's up?
How you doing?
Good.
So I just wanted to – I'm just disappointed in all these Bears fans calling in and just can't be happy about the team being 5-1. Look, I know that they have lots of issues that they have to work through and they can get better in a lot of areas. But this team was projected to go, 3-13? This team's 5-1 right now. Their opponents have won 11 times. That's more than the Packers. That's more than the Seahawks. That's more than the Steelers. That's more than the Titans. I don't understand why we can't be happy at 5-1.
You can. You should be.
And the one fan who called in and said that this team might win one more game, I'm just going to say that guy should find a new team. And anybody who else feels like that, then just pick a new team. Because when we're at the top, those guys aren't invited back. They're not. So
Andy,
if you
he was at
jump
Wrigley
on...
Field for the 63 championship game against the Giants.
I don't care.
And you're
I don't
kicking
care.
Him out of the fan
I do
base?
Not care. Yeah, if you're not on board, then get off board and go find a different team.
Andy,
that's all I'm going to say. We're
Andy,
guys,
you've beaten up Carr and Pax forever. You're still a gigantic Bulls fan. You can be critical of your team and still
be
one of the best fans.
Absolutely. I can be critical of my team, and I have been critical of team. I've called in and have complained about this team before, but all I'm hearing today after the Bears winning another game and getting to 5-1 is people complaining about how they're not the Chiefs on offense. They're not that good of an offensive team. We know this. We've seen this the past 4 years. I don't understand why everyone is like, oh, they're not good. Like, the poll you put out and the answers that people are given are ridiculous. So if that's the way you're going to be thinking about this team, that they're lucky to be where they are, this isn't a good team, they're not going to go anywhere, they might win one game, then I'm just going to say,
wasn't it you, on Thursday who called in impersonating Ryan Pace?
Yeah, but look who's happy. I'm happy they won. Guys.
It's just that the measurement here is happiness.
No. Listen. Okay? I'm going to be critical all the time. Do I think they played perfect yesterday? Absolutely not. But am I happy that right now we're at 5-1 with all the issues we have? And do I think that this team has got a great chance of making the playoffs and their defense is good enough to make a run in the playoffs? Yeah, I'm thrilled. I don't understand why people are, this team might not win another game. I mean,
there's one guy.
Yeah, and I'm telling that guy to kick rocks and go find a new team, man.
Point taken. Andy says kick rocks.
I don't care if he was at the game in 63. I wasn't there. I don't know that guy was there for sure. I mean, you know.
He's lying now. You're calling him a liar and a bet.
I'm not saying he's a liar, but I'm just saying you either can get on board with this team or you're not. And I'm just saying when we make it to the Super Bowl and we make a run in the playoffs, I'm going to remember all these people, and they're not getting back on the bandwagon.
Receipts, baby,
you know what?
Receipts.
Yeah, there you go.
So you know what?
Andy,
go
give
Bears.
Us a take that. Give us a take that, Andy.
Go Bears. Go Super Bowl. Super Bears. 5-1, baby. Victory Monday. Play the music, baby. I got a feeling.
Super
I got
Bears,
a feeling.
Super Bowl.
Let's go, boys.
Take that.
There you go. All right, Andy.
Take that.
He surprised me. I'm cool with him being happy, but to kick people out of the fan base for just having their thoughts, that surprised me. Especially out of Andy, who's impersonating Ryan Pace two shows ago. Chris in Plainfield, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Chris.
Hey, boys, what's going on?
Hey, Chris.
Enough's enough. Everyone has such negative thoughts about the Bears. I get it. Offense is not the greatest. We should just be happy. I'm not going to lie.
I'm happy.
I had the Bears going 8-0.
Woo!
I had them going 8-0 and possibly losing to the Saints.
I don't believe you. Where's your proof?
Then you should be disappointed because they're 5-1. They can't get to 8-0. They've underachieved.
Okay. The whole game when it came to the Colts, I was in complete shock. But you look at Drew Brees, which is not the same guy. Yeah, people say, you know, there's no Michael Thomas. He's not the same. We are going to spank him.
Okay, spank.
Los Angeles again, but I have another question.
When you say we're going to spank Los Angeles again, they beat us last year out there.
And then we beat them when they came here.
Okay, 2 years ago. Yeah, I don't know how far back we're going, though.
Okay. And I got a question about this Robert Quinn. Do you feel like he's kind of overrated? And do you feel like we should have kept Leonard Floyd?
No.
You guys have a great day.
Thank you. I would like to see Robert Quinn get to the quarterback more frequently. I saw a stat about him being close. When I see that, was that from JJ? I think somebody, one of the guys that covers the Bears. I think so, that covers the Bears closely. Or was it Fishbane? It was somebody that says he's getting close. Of all of the pass rushers, he's been the closest. Look, he's got to get there and finish the play. I would have expected more at this point, but
well,
there's still
the
a hell of a lot
Matt
of season.
Got, one of the sacks that Matt got, Akeem Hicks and Robert Quinn put the initial pressure on.
Listen, by the end of the year, I still will tell you that I think Robert Quinn was a wise investment.
You had to move on from Floyd, and I know he's playing better with the Rams.
Well, he's always been okay against the run. He's never been a pass rusher, a consistently good pass rusher, and that's why he was drafted as high as he was.
You know he'll have 3 sacks on Monday. Miles in the Loop, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Miles.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're good.
I just wanted to send a shout-out to Eddie Van Halen. Rest in peace.
It's good. Yes, we continue to celebrate his life.
It's a shout out, right?
Yes, Miles. Do you know that I was listening to Van Halen's greatest hits over the weekend?
Really?
Yes.
Oh, really? On Spotify?
Yes, I was exactly.
Oh, nice. All right. This is my Bears question. If the Bears, they continue to improve on offense a little bit, like from 27th to 17th, and we end up making the playoffs, how far do you think the Bears will go in the playoffs if we make it?
He said, Waddle, if they get to the average, like you said, if they get to 17th, the 7th.
If they're the 16th best offense in the league by the end of the season, you're winning at least one playoff game.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can do some damage.
Yeah, I mean, listen, take some of the, and I will guarantee this for you, okay? If their offense becomes more efficient and better and stays on the field longer and takes some of the pressure off of the defense, that will naturally lift the defense by the end of the year. If you're continually asking the defense to carry their load and yours, by the end of the season, they get worn out. So if you make some of this improvement that Nick Foles is talking about and that we're all hoping for, there will be a very tangible benefit on the other side of the ball as well by the time you get to the postseason.
All right, let me take Mitchell really quick, and then we have Waddle's World. Mitchell, I apologize for cutting you off last time about Van Halen, but we are up against the clock, so you got to be succinct here, okay?
You got it. Bottom line, in Foles we trust. He's a huge upgrade from what we had with Trubisky. And by the way, he makes us completely in a different dimension with regards to basically offsetting Nagy, because Foles can get to Nagy about controlling the offense with flow. He gets more first downs. He's playing basically an advanced game of chess, which Trubisky was playing checkers and couldn't basically forget his locker combination from fourth grade. So we have some nice upgrades. And I think what you need to focus on is that it's every game, every week, is a completely different dynamic. And with Foles, you've got to put your trust in him. I'm telling you right now, I feel good about him. He's not Shane Matthews, even though they share the same number at nine, or where they wore the same number at nine. He's more like Jim Miller and Chris Chandler. He can make the big plays, and basically the biggest upside is that at the line of scrimmage, he can change the play and make it to our advantage. Those are the keys to the season, and in Foles, we trust.
Okay, there you go. Mitchell's always been a big Foles guy. And he said things would be different, and he could not wait to replace Mitch Trubisky.
If you ask this defense, would they respond in the manner that the Brian Urlacher and Lance Briggs-led defense would say, all we need is Kyle Orton? Can Nick Foles be their Kyle Orton?
Yes, I think so. Yes. He's got to be better. He cannot throw a pick like he threw yesterday.
He got away with another one that could have been.
Yeah. You can't do that when you're that guy.
And like hopefully that improvement will come with him being part of this offense and all the new personnel in the huddle.
I have no doubt he'll look in the mirror. We'll go inside Waddle's world coming up next.
Coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
We want to keep the Bears conversation flowing here. 312-332-3776. Enjoying a victory Monday.
Waddle's World's always here. We can do that at another time.
Right. We'll get to the nuttiest story of the day in like 10 minutes. And we could do Florida or Ohio, but let's take some more calls here. At 4, I want you to break down the Kyle Fuller stuff, too. I want to get into that, the officiating. Someone just tweeted out, too, the non-pass interference call that wasn't called against Allen Robinson but was called against the Bears yesterday. Barry and Flossmore, you're on Waddle and Selvey. What's going on, Barry?
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. 5-1, enough said. That's all I care about. All that other stuff doesn't matter. Here's what I do want to call my little segment on your show. The Bears need a few angry men, period. The Bears and the Bulls have the exact same problem. They want to draft character guys. When I watched the tape of every offensive lineman that they've drafted other than Kyle Long, I had no fear. You never said, ooh, that guy's nasty. And when you set up and you watch the tape of Montgomery, he didn't have one of the two things that you need to have your feature running back do. Either be somebody that's going to run you over or outrun you. He can't do either. He is at best a second or third string running back, and they wasted a pick on this guy. I'll hang up and listen to what you got to say.
I like Montgomery a little better than Barry. I don't think he's elite. I think that he led college football in broken tackles in Iowa State when he was coming out.
Right.
And I've seen signs that he's capable of doing that as well. He gets hit in the backfield as much as any running back I've seen. Now, I love nasty offensive linemen. Love them. Just to hang out with them. Like,
who was the nastiest?
Quietly?
Van Horn, right?
Mark Bortz was.
Well, Mark Bortz was nasty.
Yeah. Like, very quiet.
But Culver can get nasty.
Yeah, he had a switch he could flip. He was the nicest guy in the world off the field, on the field. You did not want to mess with Jimbo. But Horn would, you didn't want to tangle with Horn either. But they were all, like, Thayer and Hilge, and they were all great players.
Great, that line.
Great players.
If the Bears had this line.
Yeah, listen, you'd at the very least, you'd be average, which is all we're asking for. So let's just, let's make some improvement. Come on, let's do this now.
Yep. Joe in Yorkville, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Joe?
Hey, what's up, guys? Happy Victory Monday.
You too.
I just want to get your opinions or your thoughts on something here. So what are your predictions, or what do you think the Bears are going to look like after the next five games, all the way up until the Green Bay Monday night game? you think we're going to hover around 500, or we're going to blow past that level? You know, what are your thoughts? I'll hang up.
All right, let's do this. Let's do this right now.
I got them going 2-2 going in the next four. I don't know which ones they're going to get except Minnesota. They're going to win one of the L.A., New Orleans, and Tennessee game. They'll win one of those. Not sure which. Maybe New Orleans at home. And then they'll beat the Vikings. So I think they go 2-2.
I'll go with that.
The next four.
I can buy that. I can buy that. I would lean 1-3, but because I'm feeling the good mojo right now, I'll go 2-2. Listen, the Los Angeles game, I know what you saw last night, but that's a San Francisco team that plays rough and tumble inside the phone booth. We don't do that on offense. So, like, our defense is going to be just fine against Jared Goff and their offense. But their offensive line is better this year than last year and the year before. Their guys are healthy up front, and they do a pretty nice job, and the ball comes out pretty quick. But I feel good about our defense matching up with the Rams' offense.
Coming out of the bye, they have at Green Bay, and so Matt Nagy never does well with more time. So I'm going to give them a loss there. But Waddle, after that, they really have a chance to make hay late. You have to. I know Detroit's not crap like we thought they would be. They're getting a little bit better, but you have Detroit at home, Houston at home, at Minnesota, at Jacksonville. Those are all winnable games.
Yeah.
They're all winnable. I'm not saying they're going to win all of them, but those are all winnable games.
I totally agree. I don't think getting past Detroit or Houston is going to be a walk in the park. And who knows, maybe Minnesota at home at that point will have found a little something. Look, when your offense is as inept as ours is, it's really hard to pull away from anybody. So right now, until I see some improvement on the offense, I wouldn't call anything a lock. But yes, I agree with your assessment that based on our defense, that those are all games that the Bears will be favored in as of right now.
Jacob in Streamwood, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Jake?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. We're good.
Hey, awesome, man. I just had a quick comment. With this Bears team, it kind of reminds me of the 2006 Bears when we took that Super Bowl. I'm not sure if I'm getting a little bit too outlandish, but the way this offense is moving the ball really reminds me of that team. And obviously Nick Foles is not Rex Grossman or anywhere near him. But do you think the Bears could live up to the hype of kind of that team?
They remind me a little more of the 05 Bears team, because Waddle, you were saying about Kyle Orton, when they like first emerged and they were being carried by their defense and their offense was doing very, very little.
Yeah, I'm trying to look at some of their stats in that season. I don't remember it very well.
Which one, the 05 or 06?
No, the 06 season.
You remember that they came out on fire in September, and they were putting up offensive numbers with that great defense. And then they were like 5-0 going up against Arizona. People were talking about them on Monday Night Football, beating that team by 30 points. And then that's the Crownham game, which we just celebrated the anniversary over the weekend.
Yeah. Like, their total offense was 360, 380, 325, 360, 350. I mean, yeah, offensively, they got a little more done than this group getting done now.
They had Moose, they had Bernard Berrien, and they had Thomas Jones in the backfield. That's a better football team.
Yeah.
And they had a better line then, too.
Yeah.
If you look at their offensive line was not bad, right?
No, they weren't. Listen, this season all hinges to me on what kind of progress they can make on the offensive side of the ball in the coming weeks. If they get more comfortable and guys start to get on the same page and they start to make progress, then I'm not going to put a ceiling on them. Right now, with the offensive ineptitude that we've seen up to this point, it's hard to be overly optimistic when you project. I'm thrilled they're 5-1, but if you ask me to project with what I see offensively right now, I'm a little itchy and scratchy.
Sylvie, that 06 team had a really good offensive line.
Yes.
And remember, they basically all...
Was there a Tate on that line? Did he play right tackle?
Yes, and he left tackle. And Tate's the only one that missed two starts. The rest of the offensive line started 16
Reuben Brown,
games.
Olin Krutz, right?
Roberto Garza and Fred Miller.
Yeah, see, and they had some nastiness on that. I mean, like, you talk about nasty Bears offensive linemen, to not mention Olin. Like, nobody scared the hell out of me more than Olin Krutz.
Well, I think the rest of the NFL felt the same way.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody wanted to get into a battle with him.
I bet you he could start on this line right now.
I think he'd have to gain some weight. If you see him, yes, he looks exceptionally thin and good. He looks trim.
You take your chances.
Oh, no doubt. I wish this team, some of them had the same personality.
Yeah. Will in DeKalb, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Will.
Gentlemen, hey, it's a great day to be a Bear. 5-1, Bear down.
Bear down, Will.
Here's what I got going for you guys. It's a great parallel. You slightly made the points earlier. Look around at all the other teams in the NFC. The NFC is up for grabs. The Bears are 5-1. What are they saying in Dallas right now? They don't have a quarterback. What are they saying in Tampa? They know what happens when they come against the Bears. And that, my friends, is a great segue to the great United States of America. We have so many problems here, a lot of problems. But so does every other country, and they are just as bad, if not worse. America, Bears, bear down, 5-1. Thank you.
Yes! Woo! Yes!
There you go, Will.
That was. I feel proud to be an American right now. And I feel proud to be a Bears fan. Remind me to have him not give the pregame pep talk to the Bears.
I've seen the Uzbekistan, whatever their offensive line is better than ours right now.
I shared a little Borat humor with my oldest son yesterday. They were playing the Borat. The Borat coming attractions during the Bears game.
Yeah.
And we were having some Borat fun. I wouldn't let him watch the movie. It's dirty, dirty, dirty. But we were talking about Borat.
Very nice. By the way, did you see Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers in a night? I'm saying this because I see it on time. A nice embrace after a good win.
We have to talk about that.
Good win for Tom Brady.
Yeah, there he was. You know, there he was.
Running out to, hey, where's Aaron?
Yes.
Where's Aaron?
Right. There he was, you know. There he was, shaking hands after a win. I saw today.
Kissing babies.
Good Morning Football, they pointed out, too. They want to know, like, is there something that he's got against Nick Foles?
Against losing.
Well, they showed, though, that he did shake Drew Brees' hand after the game in New Orleans. So I think it's a lack of respect. I think he thinks so highly of himself that he should never lose to Nick Foles. I feel like he's dissing Foles and being a petty, unsportsmanlike figure.
I think it had more to do with the fact that he
forgot the down.
Forgot it was fourth down. He's just like, I get it.
Did he shake hands with Eli Manning after they were 17-0?
I don't know.
You know, that doesn't make me happy.
He's not going to be first in the handshake line at any party. There's
like
no doubt.
He was gazing in Aaron Rodgers' eyes. Gazing.
Well, that's what a big win over a previously undefeated Packers team will do for you.
And then say what you want about Aaron Rodgers. He got his ass kicked. He was getting hit at every which way. He was still out there for the handshake.
Yeah.
No Tom Brady on Thursday Night Football. Terrible. All right, we'll have the
talk to your son about that instead of breaking bad Borat jokes to him.
I think you should show him Borat.
Yeah, great success.
Give it a world. Why not?
Yeah, he might as well sit and watch it with you because he's going to see it some other time without you.
Coming up next, we'll have the nuttiest story of the day and Florida or Ohio.
Waddle and Sylvie, weekdays 2-6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Just saw the video. Someone tweeted the video. I wasn't watching you when we had the caller about the United States of Bearsdom.
Yeah.
And you were saluting, huh?
I was. Yeah.
That's awesome.
We all were. I think Bleck and Eric were doing the same.
I felt like we had to stand at guard when he was talking.
That was so great.
Yeah.
I tweeted that out. And that's what we love most about Twitch. Twitch.tv/ESPN. 1000 Chicago. You can watch Waddle and the rest of our local shows and interact with us and other great listeners.
That's right. Hey, now it's time for some nonsense. Nuttiest Story of the Day is brought to you by Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. You know what they say, a night with Screwball.
And it's bound to get a little nutty.
You betcha.
Someone tweeted me a picture of them drinking Screwball over the weekend, yes.
Well, we should post that on our Instagram page here at ESPN 1000.
We should.
Chicago is ranked the rattiest city in America for the sixth year running.
Yes, if you've lived in Bleck, you've lived in the city for many years. Eric, do you live in the city or are you in the burbs now?
No, I'm a suburb guy.
So I lived in the city for over 20 years, and especially if you lived with an alley. Now, I don't mean my wife.
I mean, what, are you calling your wife a rat? What was that all about?
An actual alley, yeah. Just walk in our parking garage.
Listen, I've had two instances in the last 4 months in our parking garage. One, there was a rat that looked like a small cat that was just walking around enjoying himself. And then I walked by a garbage can and I was like, I heard some moving around inside the garbage can. And I was like, I was about 3 feet away from it. And all of a sudden, this rat comes scurrying up the top of it.
Yes.
Scared the life out of me.
It's crazy. So
horrible. So anyway, we are ranked the rattiest city in America. First place on the list. 6 years running. Orkin, an Atlanta-based pest control company, annually scores cities based on the amount of new rodent treatments required from the first of September to August. So a full year. You go from September 1 year to August to the next year. The list features 50 cities, and while most spots change each year, Chicago has now remained in first place for six consecutive seasons. Alongside Chicago, the top 10 include New York,
Boston,
Washington, San Francisco, Detroit, Philadelphia, Baltimore, Denver, and Minneapolis.
I told you on Newberry Street when we were in Boston, I had a rat taunting me, running up to my foot. And like that, I did not like that.
You sure wasn't Kenny Linsman, the old rat? The old Bruin?
It was not. No, it was an actual rat.
That's a hockey joke for you. I bet you Mike Thomas is rolling around in his office right now hearing that joke.
Yes, yes. And how about Doc Emmerich today, speaking of hockey?
That's right.
Yeah. Retiring. It's a sad day because Doc Emmerich, he's the soundtrack for many of the greatest Hawks wins ever.
That's true. Hey, on a less serious note, you want to play a game?
Yes.
Get ready to play the game that's sweeping the nation. Public drunkenness. Exotic animals. Dumb criminals. Random stabbings. Or maybe just some good old-fashioned debauchery. Everything's on the table. It's the Sunshine State versus the Buckeye State as we play Florida or Ohio. And as always, listeners, feel free to play along at home.
Driver shoots at kids playing basketball.
What?
After they told him to slow down. Police are searching for a man who opened fire with a semi-automatic gun at a group of school kids playing street basketball after they told him to slow down. The man was speeding down Rockaway Street in a white Pontiac G6 with tinted windows and temporary plates.
The Pontiac G6 sounds like a pretty popular ride in Cincinnati.
The kids yelled at him to slow down, a group of 11 and 12-year-olds. He pulled out his gun and shot, just violently, freely through the air and got
Eric's
his car
taking this down
away.
A serious, serious no road on a mic.
Eric,
it's a victory Monday
no
for crying out loud.
We're good. He just hates it.
Abdallah's away for one day and you bring us a drive-by shooting for Florida or Ohio?
Yeah, I mean, you're just trying to get some jumpers.
Cleveland, Ohio. I'm going Cleveland. You know what? No, I'll go my hometown, Cincinnati. Some bad actors in that town.
I'm going to go Youngstown, Ohio.
I'm going to flip it on you guys. Florida. Miami.
All right. Kids are just trying to get some jumpers up in their driveway.
Driveway?
I don't know about driveway, actually. Okay. They just said street basketball. In Akron, Ohio.
Well, there you go.
I'm not celebrating anything.
No, you're right.
They're just being right.
Eric, come on now.
That's what's to celebrate.
That's my dirty for good, bad, dirty. Hey, you know what I think would be really good for Florida or Ohio?
How about a drive-by in Akron?
There's a drive-by in Akron where a bunch of kids were playing basketball.
You son of a...
They got back to the game after. Everything all right.
Speaking of that, where is the... Is there no longer contact allowed in football? Can you not hit a guy hard anymore? Ever? I want to talk about the Fuller hit again. And this one, was ruled, including by the Fox analyst, is a good call. And while I want to find out what you think, that's coming up in 2 short minutes.